I went to two of the most interesting vortex points on Earth pretty much back to back.
Oh,
I was
really?
Yeah. Back in the 60s and early 70s, Ivan T. Sanderson was doing a lot of research on places where planes and ships would disappear. And the iconic book, The Bermuda Triangle, that was written by Charles Berlitz. Charles Berlitz, as it turns out, actually went to Ivan Sanderson's research center and purloined most of the data that he got for that book out of that research center. But the thing is that Sanderson actually had found 12 points on the surface of the Earth where these ships and planes were all disappearing, not just one.
Huh.
But Berlitz only used the one. Now, it just so happens that one of these points is directly over Hawaii. And the more north you are in Hawaii, the closer you are to this vortex point. Now, again, in certain circumstances, when the alignments are right, there is a energetic effect that will happen in these areas that can disrupt electromagnetic equipment. It can cause navigation systems to go down. But there's also a very fascinating side note to this, which is that in certain circumstances, there are disappearances. And it appears that what's happening is that these ships and planes are actually traveling out of time as we know it and probably into some other time. And so I've been working like crazy on this book, 2012 Enigma, which has taken me about 14 months of really hardcore work to finish.
That's pretty intensive.
And I wanted to take a vacation, and so I'd been writing about these vortexes extensively. And Kauai is the northernmost island on Hawaii, and the vortex is north of Hawaii. Richard Hoagland has pointed out in the past that Hawaii has the lowest cancer rate of anywhere in the world. And another one of the things these vortexes seem to do is they have a bioactive component, which can actually induce healing. And so, sure enough, I went to this island. There's one island that's north of Kauai that's only run by indigenous people, and you can't even go there unless they allow you to. I forget what it's called, but it starts with an N. There was a lot of rain. It was very humid, but we had a beautiful place. I was actually staying at David Wolf's raw food farm called Noni Land, which is not open to the public. It's like a private farm. And so I went to the beaches, and there were these terrifying signs that said that there was a riptide, and there was this, and there was that, and it was lethal, and, you know. We went swimming in there anyway, and the waves were really intense. I actually more than once got completely knocked off my feet, shot, I don't know, it seemed like over 100 feet through the water. Somehow managed to, like, tuck my head in and avoid taking some kind of serious injury as I was getting thrown around inside the water. But this was my vacation, you know, because I never, ever take any time off. I mean, George, I hope you can, but
you know me. I get 3 weeks, only take one. Yeah,
you know, no.
It's the same way. But was one of these islands, was that Nahoa?
I think that's it, yeah.
That might be it.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of friends on the Big Island of Hawaii.
Right.
You know, they love it. They love it out there.
Well, there was a lot of energetic activity there, that's for sure. And I managed to blow out a rewrite of the book while I was there, as well as a conference and a radio show and two videos and all kinds of stuff. So I didn't really stop working at all. That's the point.
Now, well, these vortexes where ships and things have disappeared, you say that there were 12 points and you went to see these two of them. How did he even find where they were?
Well, it's very simple. Every time that you go through the aviation records to the dawn of biplanes and the very first powered flight as it went back to the Wright brothers, every time a plane disappears, there's a log of it. And so what he did is he went through all that stuff, he crunched the numbers, and he took little push pins and stuck them into a map every time there was a plane that went down. And then he did the same thing for marine records, going back as far as Spanish conquistadors and stuff in the 1500s.
Interesting.
And looked for where ships disappeared. And eventually, if you have enough push pins with little pieces of paper attached to them that tell you what they mean, and you start noticing that they're all clustering into what initially he only thought were 10 points, And they're all basically 72, like there's five in the northern hemisphere and five in the southern hemisphere. And they're 72 degrees longitude apart from each other in these hemispheres. 36 degrees of longitude apart if you look from top to bottom. 72 if you look at just one hemisphere at a time. But they were totally perfectly offset from each other, and it was actually three Russian scientists who published in a mainstream Russian science journal called Kimia Izin, which means chemistry and life. These Russians were Goncharov, Morozov, and Makarov. I've spoken about them before. They actually did this totally mainstream scientific paper where they played connect the dots and found out that, in fact, there was a geometric object that was formed that appears to be an energy field inside the Earth. They did not say it was like a big crystal, but it was some sort of energetic pattern inside the Earth that was actually causing this. In other words, every time you have one of these vortex points, it's one of the corners of this geometry, which basically is like a soccer ball made out of equilateral triangles, a total of 20 of them.
Explain what a vortex is, David. For
people. A vortex point has a variety of very interesting effects that will happen around it, including you can get fish and sea turtles that will swim with the vortex. You actually do get vortexes, currents in the ocean in terms of how the ocean is flowing. Many storms will begin in these centers. Hurricanes will begin in these areas. Electrical fish tend to cluster in these areas, and they don't go anywhere else. You also get gravitational anomalies. You get magnetic fluctuations in the Earth's geomagnetic field. And one of the most interesting things is that they actually determine the structure of the continents. I personally interviewed in 2005 Dr. Hanshao Liu, L-I-U, who works for NASA and the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Association. And he collaborated with another guy named Dr. Athelstan Spilhaus on a paper that Spilhaus published in 1976, where what they basically did is they looked at Pangaea, which is the original landmass where all the continents fit together on Earth. And Liu, this guy, was the first one to discover that when Pangaea broke up into separate island continents in the early days, it did so along geometrically equal lines. Now, that's pretty strange. Why would it do that? Why wouldn't it just be random? What could be causing this geometry to occur in the spreading of the continents? Well, then it got even weirder because they found that the original geometry was what Richard has always spoken about, the tetrahedron. And I'm sure you listeners are well aware of that one. It's basically a pyramid, but with a triangular base rather than a square base, each face of which there's four is equilateral triangle. But then you get up to the next phase where it becomes a cube octahedron, and that's a little bit more complex where you have triangular faces and square faces. But nonetheless, what they found was that if you actually go back and look at the isochronic seafloor spreading data, as it's called, which is basically just means how you measure in time how the volcanic undersea ridges have spread out the continents, they're doing so along absolutely precise geometry. And then thirdly and lastly, it expands into what's called an icosa dodecahedron, which is the pattern that we now have. And, of course, Ivan Sanderson discovered the icosa component, which is the 12 sides or the 12 vortex points that connect together if you play connect the dots. The Russians I just mentioned also figured out you could flip it inside out and get a dodecahedron. Now, when Hanshao Liu and Athelstan Spilhaus discovered this same thing and made maps of it, they had no idea that Sanderson had discovered 12 vortex points. They had no idea that the Russians had identified the same exact geometry. They discovered it independently 3 years later by actually analyzing the positions of the continents.